Okay, today's daf is daf Kaf Bet. We're going to start on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. We'll just review very quickly from the Mishnah because it's pretty quick, and that way it'll get us into where we're up to today. And I started the sheet today starting from the Mishnah. So, okay, there's two parts to the Mishnah. We're going to start with the first one and then end with the second one. Hakelev Agdisha Kaftzu Meirosh Agag V'Shavuot HaKelim Meshalem Nezek Shalem Mipnei Shehem Uadim. The assumption is if you have a Kelev Agdi and you leave them on the top of your roof, assumption is they're going to jump. In which case, if they jump and there's kelim at the bottom, then you're responsible for the damage caused to those kelim. Next case, in this case we saw earlier also, hakelef shenatal charera, he takes this cake, okay, this cake which was baked on coals, and with it is attached to coals, v'halach lagadish, achala charera v'hidlik hagadish, v'hidlik hagadish, so he takes this cake, he eats it, and with the coal he burns a field. So when it comes to the charara itself, he's going to pay full damages because that's shame. He ate it, basically. And he picked up this cake that was on the floor, you know, and he ate it. So that's basic shame. And ala gadish, he's only chayav chatzi nezek. Okay, we'll see about this more further on. Okay? Gemara. So the first assumption of the Gemara is, we did this yesterday, Tama de kaftsu hanaflu patur. Right? The reason that they are chayav in the Mishnah is because they jumped. But if they fell off, which is not considered typical behavior of an animal to fall off a roof, then you're going to be patur. So now, why would you say this? Isn't this a little strange? Because you started by leaving the kelev at the top of the kelev at the top of the roof, and you should have expected that they were going to jump. In which case, so it's true they didn't jump, but they did fall and break the kelim that were down at the bottom. So therefore, we're going to assume from here, Alma kasavar, tchilato b'pshia b'safo b'ones patur, that if you start off with negligent behavior, but it ends with an ones situation, it wasn't that they actually did what could have happened, then you're patur. Tanya nami hachi, and here's a braita that supports this reading. Hakelev agdi shekavtzu meirosh agag v'shavuot hakelim meshalem nezek shalem. That's just like our Mishnah, but now there's an added line here. Naflu p'tulim. And just like we assumed we could derive from the Mishnah, the braita actually derives explicitly and says, but if they fell, they'd be patur. So this all, now we're going to say, Hani chalaman damar tchilato v'shia v'safo bonus patur. We're going to see this later on also. There's a whole machloket about whether, okay, if you look in the Masoret HaShas, for example, you can see it comes up in Baba Kama two more times, and Baba Metzia three more times. Okay, we're going to see this sugya a lot. About if you start off with p'shia and you end up with ones, so if you say you're patur, then this all works out very well. El laman damar chayav ma'ika lameimar. But if you say you're chayav, how can you explain this Mishnah? And we said yesterday, kigon de makar bekelim legabe kotel. Ki kafze bikfitza lo naflu alayu. Vafilu tchilato bipshia leika. Okay, this is where the kelim were tzamud to the house, and if the dog jumped, he never would have broken them. It's only, right, if he falls, then he falls straight down. But if he jumps outward with a projectile, and he wouldn't be chayav. So therefore, he wouldn't have broken them. So therefore, it's not a case of pshia, because you knew they were on the Rosh Hagag, but you looked down, and if they had jumped, they wouldn't have broken anything. Okay, now, Amar Rav Zvi Mishrei de Rava. Okay, Rav Zvi now is going to come and bring a case where you would fall, and you'd be chayav. Pa'amim shafilu naflu nami chayav. What case would that be? Mishkacha la bekotel ru'ua. If the kotel was a weak wall, and it was a wall that was about to break, then you could say, it was negligent to leave your dog on that wall, okay? And therefore, you're chayav if he falls. So now they say, but I don't understand. My nihu, what's exactly the case here? Di baile la asuke data de nafal arche. Sof sof, lo nafal arche. V'nafal inhu. Tchilato b'pshia b'safo b'onesu. Wait a minute. This case is the same thing as tchilato b'pshia b'safo b'onesu. What happened with the wall? So now the assumption is that the wall had these ceramic tiles on it. So what kind of damage would have happened? What were you expecting to happen? That the ceramic tiles, that's arche. Okay, we've seen this ariach, agave ariach. We've seen this before. I think it was in Erevin. About the size, right? The size of a lechi. Okay? So, what are you worried? Right? You should have thought that the ceramics might fall, the tiles might fall down. But sof lo nafal arche, but that's not what happened with this kotel ru'ua. You weren't worried about the dog falling because the wall broke. You were worried about the ceramic tiles coming out and breaking the kelim. So instead, what happened? The dog fell and broke the kelim. So still, it's a case of tilatobib shiabasafo bonus. So what are the answer? Lotzricha bikotel tsar. So now we're saying, no. It was a case where he left them on a very narrow edge there. And the concern was, if they were on that narrow edge, they would fall down. In other words, and that's the case where it's basically, you were tchilat hob shia b'safob b'shia. In other words, you left the dog in this very narrow area, this very narrow wall at the top where he very easily could have fallen.
So in the end, that's when you're the strength of the wall is irrelevant. Whether it's irrelevant.
Exactly. So it's not a kotel ru'ua, it's a kotel tsar. Okay, they're changing it. They're saying it wasn't Ru'ah, it was Tzar. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a contradiction between two brightot about a certain thing relating to the Kelev and the Gdi. A Kelev and Gdi, Shadalgu Mimata Lamala, Pturin. Milamala Lamata, Chayavin. Okay, now, a Kelev and a Gdi, now we're going to talk about the direction they jumped. If they jump up and they break something high up, then you're patur. If they jump down and they break something on the right that they on the way down, then they're chayav. Adam v'tarnigol shadalgu b'milamala lamata b'milamata lamala chayavin. Okay, but Adam, first of all, Adam, you're chayav no matter what because Adam is always mu'ad. And a tarnigol, the assumption is the tarnigolim jump up and down. They jump up in both directions, and therefore it was expected damage, and you're chayav nezek shav. So now they say, but v'hatanya, doesn't it say in another braita, hakelev ha'gdi shedilgu, b'milamala lamata, b'milamata lamala, p'turin. Here you see, either direction, they're going to be p'turin. So now, one second. Right, I think the different nusach should be chayavin, right, okay? All the notes say, you see there's all those letters next to it? It's supposed to be chayavin. They're always chayavin. Okay, so how could that be that they're chayavin? Right, the Masoret HaShas says it, the Haggadah Gras says it. Okay. So now, Tirgum Rav Papa, so how do we resolve this contradiction? That some say either direction of Chayav, and others say they're only Chayav in one direction. Tirgum Rav Papa, de apich mepach. Kava bezrika, I think I learned this, that it's actually Pturin. One second, let me just make sure I'm correct here. Yeah, it's pturin. We're going to go with the nusach that is pturin. Right,
so
I forgot to...
It can be read either way.
Right, it can be read either way, but we're going to read it with the fact that they're pturin.
There's a critical difference.
Right, there is a critical difference. I have to look it up about how it goes chayavim, but I know I prepared it as pturin. So, tirgum Rav Papa de apich mepach kalba bezrika vegadya besricha. So now, what happened here? They switched the way that they jump, okay? Now, the assumption is a gdi jumps without holding hands onto anything. He just, you know, wildly jumps up. And a kelev, when he jumps, he kind of holds on and propels himself forward. So the assumption here is that when they say they're pturin, either which way, we're talking about that each one jumped in an atypical manner, and because of that, again, what are we going to say? Atypical? Karen, and you're chayav chatzi nezek. Oh, wait a minute. But it says you're pturin, right? So the Gemara says, Ihachi, am I pturin? So what do we answer? When they said pturin, and this is very typical, right? Those brito don't necessarily spell things out. This sounds a lot like Shabbat. If you remember, we have patur. Is it patur halasur or is it patur umutar? So now, right, with the Emoraim, we're very careful about their lashon, the Tadaim. Sometimes this was said in one school and that was said in another school, and they just used the word patur. But what they really meant when they said patur is, patur mi nezek shalem b'chayavim b'chatzi nezek. Patur means you're patur from, you know, typical damage. Doesn't mean, they just weren't relating to the fact that, well, it's Karen and you're chayav chatzi nezek. Okay, that's what you would have to say. Again, it's maybe a difficult reading, but again, Tanaitic material, often they were, you know, each one kind of came out of his thinking, and they were written separately and not as a whole book, and it could be that that really is what they meant. Hakelev, okay, now we're moving on. That was the first case. Now we're on to the second case. So the Kelev takes this harara, okay, he takes someone's cake, it's attached to a coal, he eats the cake, he drops the coal, and the coal burns a fire. Okay, so what do we say in the Mishnah? Ala harara, he pays full damage, because that's shein. And the gadish, she only paid chatzi nezek because that's not typical. Okay. Or maybe...
Yafeh.
So, right. I was just going to say, there's two ways to read this. One is that it's... We're going to see. We're not even there yet, but One is that it's shrorot, because he throws the charara, and it's like an animal walking, kicking pebbles, and the pebbles cause damage. Another way of looking at it, right, whenever you see chatzi nezek, it either means keren, it was atypical, and maybe that's why. So it's either atypical or it's shrorot. There's a machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel about which case it is here, okay, which is interesting. Okay, so now, Hakelev Shenatal, Itmar. It was known that there was a machloket and moraim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, this is a very, very basic machloket. Isho mishum chitzav, Berish Lakish Amar, Isho mishum mamono. When you set a fire, okay, why are you responsible for this fire? So Rabbi Yochanan says you're responsible because it's as if you shot an arrow. Why is an arrow a perfect example? You shoot an arrow, nothing happens at the moment you shoot it, right? But as it goes farther on, it's going to damage something. And basically, what do we say? Oh, well, the arrow did it, not me. No, of course, it's an extension of your strength. So it's kocho, as we saw before. It's your body is basically causing this damage. So and then, what are we going to say? That fire is going to be basically, even though we listed, now this is strange, because we listed it as there were four toladot, but really, according to Rabbi Yochanan, fire comes under the category of Adam. It's basically, you set a fire, and it's true it didn't damage the second, but then it jumped on, the wind blew it, and the wind took it, but it really came from your original act. Okay? So just like an arrow. So then, all the criteria of Adam are going to be relevant to it because, right, whatever's true about Adam, so you're mu'ad la'olam, it's everywhere, no matter Rishud Am Nizak, right? Anywhere you do damage, you're going to be chayav. Same with fire. Rish Lakish says, no, fire is like your property. So it's like shor or bor, right? You do something, and then that item damages. You're removed from it, but it's your property, and your property is damaging. Now, Rashi comes up with a very big nafka mina, which the Mefarshim have a big issue with. Okay, look at Rashi, Mishum Mamono. Kishoro uboro sheiziku, okay, bekasal kadat achteika benayu, kigon shehidlik begachelet she'eno shelo. Okay, now you can say that this is a nafka mina, he says. What if you took a coal that wasn't yours, and you started a fire with it? So if you say it's Mishum Mamono, well, you say, well, that's not my mamon. Okay, now this is very difficult because all the Mefreshim say, what are you talking about? Of course you're chayav in Eish, even if you take a gachelet that's not yours. So there's a big problem with Rashi here, how Rashi could say this. Maybe Rashi is just saying we might think that this is the case, but ultimately it will be rejected. But he's suggesting, like in theory, a nafka mina, but it's very strange he suggests this nafka mina that clearly is not the case. Okay, so I just wanted to kind of put that out there because it's just interesting that Rashi says it. Okay, and the Mefreshim all, many of them have issues with it. Okay, so now, so is Eish like your property doing damage? So now we're going to get into the why didn't one say like the other? And then we're going to get into, okay, you can see here the chart, okay, which continues on the second side. We're basically going to have why didn't each one say like the other? And this is going to take us till the end of the daf. We're going to have four attempts to prove Rabbi Yochanan Shita, okay? Each one, Rish Lakish is going to respond and say, okay, four, by the way, you can see from the, right, four Tanaitic sources that are all going to be brought to prove that Isha Mishum Chitzav, okay? And then, at the end, we're going to also have a Chizuk for Rabbi Yochanan, okay, from Rava. He's going to say, here's a Chizuk, and then tomorrow we're going to continue with the Sugi. We're not going to finish it today. Okay, so now, Ma Rish Lakish, my time alo amar ka Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't he say it's Mishum Chitzav? Amar lecha, chitzav mikocho azle, hai lo mikocho azle. How did the fire get? The fire didn't really go from your strength. It went from the wind. Some other power got into it. So whereas chitzav really comes, in fact, if the wind, right, it's true the wind could affect your arrows, but most of the power of the arrows is coming from you. Whereas when it comes to the fire, it really doesn't come from you. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, alo amar karish lakish. Amar lecha, mamona ipe mamasha, ha lepe mamasha. What does he say? You can't call fire your property, comes Rabbi Yochanan, he says, because fire doesn't have any, it's not an object. So mamon has to be a possession of yours. We never call a fire that you have a possession of yours, okay? It's not a possession. It doesn't have mamash in it. Okay, that's what he says. Okay, now we're going to start with our sources. The first source we're going to use to prove it is our Mishnah, and that's why this comes up here. Tanan, HaKelev Shenatal Charara, okay, that's our case. So, Bishlama Lamanda Amar Isho Mishum Chitzav. Chitzav de Kelev Hu. Right? By the way, if you say it's shor or bor, then the criteria of shor or bor are going to be relevant to it, okay? Rabbeinu Chananel actually has a good, I think it was him who said it, let me just see. No, maybe it's not there. Okay, fine. I thought I saw something there, but it wasn't. Maybe not. Okay. So take our Mishnah. If you say it's Mishum Chitzav, then what do you say? Chitzav de Kelev Hu. In other words, the Kelev is the one who basically made the fire happen. Ella Lamanda Amar, in other words, it was the Koch of the Kelev. Ella Lamanda Amar Isha Mishum Mamono. Hi Esh Lav Mamona Debala Kelevhu. In other words, what happened here again? So this would go with Rashi, really, which is the Esh is not the Mamon of the Bala Kelev. The Esh came from this Harara, was attached to a coal, and the coal was not owned by the Kelev owner, right? So how could you possibly say it was Mamono? Mamono was the Gachelet. Okay, if you say it's Chitzav, so what do you say? Well, yes, it was the Gachelet that belonged to whoever, but, right, it was the coal that belonged to we don't know who. But the owner of the dog, whose owner is now going to be responsible, is because the dog himself used his cough to make this fire happen. So how's Rish Lakish going to answer and say no? You could say it's Mamono. Amar lecha Rish Lakish hacha b'mayaskinan de'adye aduye. Okay, there's going to be two different interpretations of what this term means. One is Rashi, one is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says, Adi Aduye means that he threw it. That's what Rashi says, Shezarko. Okay? It's a case of, and this goes with what Shoshana was saying, he threw the coal. Okay? So now, if he throws the coal, what's the situation? Al Charara Mashalem Nezek Shalem. Al Makom Gachelet Mashalem Chatzi Nezek. Okay, where the coal burns, he pays half damages, because according to Rashi, if he threw it, what do we call it? Shroer. Val Gadish Kula Patur. And when it comes to the entire Gadish blowing, you know, keep going on fire, he's going to be Patur, because this is atypical behavior. Okay? Why is he going to be Patur? Sorry. In other words, where it falls, he's going to be Chayav and Shroer. The rest of the Gadish, well, that's going to be Mishum Mamono. And this case is not Mamono, so he's going to be Patur. So he claims now that when we said, right, what did the Alacharam Shalem Nezek Shalem, Alagadish Mashalem Chatzi Nezek, he only meant the Gadish at the place where it fell. But the rest of the Gadish, he's not going to be Chayav. Okay? Because that's already the Mamon of somebody else that's caused.
If I owned that stack of grain, I'd be really unhappy.
It would be very, yes, it would be very annoying. But look, the owner could say, "This my dog did this, you know, and it was out of control." And in other words, yes, he's high up on where he threw it to, because that's Shroro, but past there, it's not my responsibility. Okay? Rabbeinu Chananel says, Adye Aduye, okay, Rabbeinu Chananel is that really teeny, okay, print on the side. Okay, he says, where is it? Yeah, it's like 15-20 lines from the bottom. The first line is Uparik. Uparsha Shagish Kagon to Adye Aduye, Kolomar, Lohigbia etachara, Ela Biderech Didoy. Okay, so this isn't clear exactly. I don't know what didoy is. Okay, but he's saying he didn't pick it up. It's not like he threw it. Okay, maybe he kind of moved it over, maybe like it inched over, something like that. Right, it never left its owner's rein, which means, right, so therefore it's not the mamon of the animal's owner. In other words, he did do it with his own hands. Maybe he moved it over. So there you have this big, basic machloket, which is so interesting, because what happens? They see chatzi nezek and it rings bells, right? Chatzi nezek either means carrion or it means straro. So one explains it as straro and one explains it. Nobody knows what this term adye aduye means exactly. So because of that, they come up with different conclusions. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan, now how would Rabbi Yochanan explain the case? So what does he say? It's not a case of tsrorot, right? What does he say? Because he says, Esha Mishum, Isha Mishum Chitzav. Da'ancha anuche. Okay, he put it down, the dog. So therefore, al charara va'al makom gachelet mishalem nezek shalem, va'al agadish mishalem chatzi nezek. And since he put it down, so if he puts it down, what's he responsible for? Where his koch went. His koch went, right? He put it down. After that, it took off. He's only chayev chatzi nezek on that. Okay? So, one second. Right, according to this... Right, so what would that be considered? I want to get this straight. According to this... Right, so then they're going to say it's like tsroro. In other words, it's the chitzav. It's like, normally if a person, that's what they're going to say is different here. A person puts a coal down, so they're chayav, because it's their chet, their arrow that went. When an animal has an arrow that goes out, you know, he puts it down, so where he put it down is chayav, but where it spread is tsroro. And then you're chayav chatzi nezek. Okay, that's how Rashi is going to explain it anyway. It's according to Rashi that this is a din of tsroro. Even according to Rabbeinu Hanan, you'd have to say this was tsroro here because it's not a case, right? I think he would still say, right, because that part wouldn't be mishuna. In other words, the whole thing would be mishuna according to his reading, I guess. You'd have to say, according to this, it was the esh is mishum chitzo. So basically, where he put it down, you're chayav. After that, it becomes tsroro because it's an animal doing it. Whereas if it was the person himself, he'd be chayav. But since the animal did it, it's only chatzi nezek. Okay, so that attempt was futile, just like all the other ones we're going to have, because Rish Lakish can explain it according to his shita. Tashma, next case. This is a very famous case because it comes up, it relates to Hanukkah. Okay, it's very interesting, and I believe we learned it in Shabbat. Is that true?
We definitely learned it.
Yeah, I think it comes up in, where does it come up? It comes up, Sukkah maybe? No, it comes up in Shabbat, yeah. It comes up in Shabbat in the Hanukkah Sukkah. Tashma. Gamal ta'um pishtan va'avar b'rashut arabim. So there's a camel carrying a whole load of flax, and he goes in Rashut arabim, nichnisa pishtano l'tocha chanut v'dlako b'ner shal chenvani v'hidliket habira. Okay, what happens? He's got this pishtan. Somehow it gets into this somebody's store, like it leans over somehow, and there's fire in the guy's store, and the whole thing goes on fire. Okay, so, and it burns up the whole, right, if the, I guess really the gamal must have gone into the store, right? So now it goes up in flames from the fire of the owner. Because what do you say? What was the gamal doing in the store, right? But if the chemvani leaves his nir in the Rashut Arabim, he's chayav. Can you see where this is going with Hanukkah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'ner Chanukah patur. On Hanukkah, when you're supposed to have your candles out in the open, you're patur. Now why? Because again, it's all a matter of whose responsibility is it. The owner of the camel should have known it's Hanukkah, and you know that there's going to be fire around. Right? This is what happens every year, unfortunately, on Hanukkah. There's always all this emergency, you know, the emergency room is full because everyone's getting burnt. In other words, you have to be careful on Hanukkah. You know that there's a lot of fire around. Parents have to take extra precaution in their house. Likewise, you're walking through Rashut Arabim, don't send your camel with a big load of flax without watching that it doesn't get caught by the flames. So, Bishlama Laman Damar Isho Mishum Chitzav. Chitzav de Gamalhu. Right, if we're saying hidliket habira, bala gamal is chayav, so what are we going to say? Well, it's the chitzav of the gamal that caused this big fire. That's why he's chayav. Ela lamanda amar mishum mamono, hayesh lav mamona to bala gamalu. Right, this fire was not owned by the camel, so why should he be responsible? Amar lacharish lakish, hacha b'mayaskinan b'michsachsechet kol habira kula. So now, what does this mean? Rashi explains. The gamal over bifnei kol habira u'masachsecho. In other words, what happened? It caught on fire, and the gamal now walks around with his fiery thing going, and he actually, it's not that it went off from the camel and spread, it's that the camel spreads the fire to the entire area. Okay? And then, it doesn't, you don't have to say, mishum mamo, no, it's an animal causing damage directly. Okay? So ihachi, then it doesn't make sense though, because ema seifa iminiach chemvani neiromi b'chutz chemvani chayav v'yibim b'chsechsechet amai chayav. Right, if the animal went from place to place after he caught on fire in Rashut Arabim because the candle was outside, but if he continues to walk around with a fiery thing, bundle on him and burns up the whole city, well, why should the baal hachanut be chayav for all that? So what did they answer? Bisha amda It's a case where the fire was so big that he just stood in his place. It's not like he walked around. While he was standing there and it caught on fire, everything burnt up. So that's true also. So now they say, what do you mean? Again, the responsibility should flip. If he's standing there long enough to burn up the whole city, right, his owner should be there and his owner should move him away so that everything doesn't burn down. So what do they answer? It must be in a case. It's a very interesting answer. Okay, it was that the animal needed to do its thing at that moment, okay, go to the bathroom, and because of that, at that moment, he's standing there, and he can't move, and you can't move him, okay? It's like impossible to move him, right? Try to move a huge animal who's doing his thing and can't, he won't let you move him. So and the owner was immobilized. He couldn't do anything about it, okay? It just reminds me. Moshe just had his Bagrut in Gemara, and we looked at his test, and it was a case of this. It's about something about the Zevel, and he said, I couldn't figure out what's the Zevel, what's the Zevel? And then all of a sudden he realized at the top in small print, they gave him some translations, and it was the manure. And so Seth was laughing. Only in Israel would you have a Bagrut, you know, for 11th grade boys with, you know, manure. Like, what kind of, you know, it's just the way the Gemara talks, and they never realized. I'm like, it's a little strange. Maybe we should put this together. It was one of these unseen, like, it was just, they pick some random sugya and try to figure out what it means. Yeah, they hadn't learned it, so of all sugyas, they had to think of it. Anyway, as you see, it comes up in the Gemara a lot, so maybe not so surprising. Okay, so now, Reisha Bala Hagamal Chayav, Diloi Baile Lafushe Bitiina. So now they're just explaining. In the Reisha, so the Bala Gamal is Chayav, why? Because he shouldn't have put such a big load on him that it was going to end up catching fire in the store of the owner. Okay? And here, it kind of does sound like the gamal was outside and his bundle was just so big that it kind of went into the store. Right? You have to try to figure out how that would happen. Maybe his bundle was this way, right? You imagine, like, people, I'll tell you what I'm thinking of. People wheeling luggage trolleys. And you have a big duffel that's going that way, you know, the side way, like perpendicular to the... So you could see that it would, you know, if the camel's carrying this big thing, you could see that maybe the bundle is very long and it's going, you know, kind of horizontal, and maybe that's why it got inside. And basically the owner should have been responsible that he didn't send him with a load like that could catch on fire. And seifa chembani chayav to the baile la anuche nerome abrai. He shouldn't have left his candle outside. Okay. So now again, what do we have here? We started with the Kalev Shanatav Chara, and Rish Lakish said, no, you could say it's Adya Duye, right? Which could be either Chatzi Nezek Troret or the Mishuneh. And then we see this case, and we try to say, oh, clearly it's the Chitzav of the animal that's causing it. And then Rish Lakish says, no, it's talking about Misachsechet Kol Avirah Kula, right? Where he's standing in one place, and from where he's standing, you know, or he walks around and he basically gets it all. But then they really said, no, he must have just been standing and he was impossible to move him. Next case, Tashma. Again, each time we're trying to prove Rabbi Yochanan. Hamadliket HaGadish. Okay, this is a strange one. Vayagdi Kafutlo. Okay, there was a goat that was attached, like tied up in the field. So we couldn't have moved. Ve'eved Samuchlo. And there was an Eved nearby. Vinisraf Imo. Now the animal gets burned. And the Eved gets burned with the Gadish that got burned. Chayav. Okay, so if someone lights fire to a field, and in it there was a Gadish that was tied up, and an Eved that was not tied up, okay? He's Chayav what? He's Chayav damages for the Gadish and the Gadish. Now, this is going to, I should really preface this with going back to a concept that we've seen before, and we'll see many more times. Kimle, we're going to finish this, Bide, Rabamine. What does this mean? It means that if you have two, you do something, and within that act, you're high of both something chamor, like death, okay, the death penalty, and you're chayav mamonot, okay, payment. Okay, we won't get into also malkot and where that fits in, but we'll start with the basic case. Death and money, which is our case here. You be patur from tashlumin because... you're high of something, kim le, we're going to be mikayem the din, bidir rabba mine, the greater item. So we're basically going to puncture you from Tashlumin, and this is even in a case often where you don't end up getting the punishment of death. But because it was a death penalty case, okay, therefore you're puncture from Tashlumin. So what are they telling you here? Here you killed the Eved. So it has to be simultaneous. So some people raise the issue here. It wasn't necessarily simultaneous because, well, let me tell the case and then I'll say the question they ask. What happened here? So the Eved is free to run, right? So if he gets killed with this fire, you're not responsible because he should have ran out of there. Okay, the assumption, by the way, we're going to see is that an animal won't necessarily sense the danger of fire, and we can't imagine he's smart enough to get out of there. Okay, even though animals really do have a much more strong sense, they didn't think so, okay? So the animal, even if he's not tied up, you're going to be responsible for. But the Eved, only if he's tied up are you going to be responsible for his death. But if he's not tied up, you're not responsible for his death. It's his fault. He should have run. And therefore, if you're not responsible for his death, like in this case, the Eved was samach and he wasn't tied up, you're chayav in damages because it's not a death penalty case. But Eved kafutlo, gdi samuchlo, if the Eved was tied up and the gdi was next to it, v'nisrafimo patur. Then you're going to be patur because you're chayav b'dinei mavet, okay, for the Eved. Okay, so now, let's go. Bishlama lamanda amar. Oh, so by the way, getting back to Shana's question, some of the Pershim say, but wait a minute. When you started lighting the fire, first you burned the beginning part of the field. The fire spread, maybe it got to the Gdi first, maybe it got to him second, I don't know. But let's say, so if he got to the, at least it burned the field somewhat before it got to the Eved. So it's not both things happening at the same time. You should at least be responsible for all the damage done before the Eved was burned. But then they say no, because the source of it is the same. In other words, it started from that same act of you lighting the fire. And therefore, it's all viewed as one act. Okay? Tov. Bishlam alaman damar isha mishum chitzav. Mishum hachi patur. Okay? El alaman damar isha mishum mamono amai patur. If you say that esh is viewed as your property, so why would you be patur? Ilu katal tore avda hachinyam idilo machayev. If you're sure, killed an Eved, what happens? Are you high of death penalty if you're sure it kills an Eved? No, you pay shloshim shekel. Okay? So therefore, if you're sure where to kill an Eved, you're sure as your mamon, right? You wouldn't be high of the death penalty, in which case, you'd be chayav, if there were other damages, to pay the monetary damages. Likewise, we should say, if isha mishum mamono, right, your esh is because of the mamon, well then, it's your property doing damage. If your property kills somebody, you shouldn't, you're not chayav mavet. If you're not chayav mavet, then you should be chayav, right? Even you should be chayav to pay. Okay, so, Amar lecha Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, so again, he could explain, hacha b'maya skinan, kishihitzit b'gufo shel eved, dekim le b'derab minei. Okay, so this means that he lit the fire on, in other words, we said maliket hagadish, he lit a fire and he started burning it and he burned the goof of the Eved. In other words, very unpleasant. He put the fire right up against the Eved. Okay, it wasn't like his fire spread, because if his fire spread, then it's mamono, and he wouldn't be chayav for the death penalty. But here, the man lit the fire and the Eved was right there, and therefore, it would be a case where he's chayav mavet. Again, this would be difficult, because then what would be this case where the Eved is, right, where he's not chayav, if the Eved is not kafut, well then the Eved should have run, but if he puts the fire right on him, I guess you could say the Eved could have put out the fire and shouldn't have died from it. Maybe you would say that. I'm just remembering now, there's this whole sugya. If you light someone's clothes on fire and then they die from it, it's the exact same thing. Are you chayav? You're not really chayav, because if the person could have taken off the clothes, he could have figured out a way to save himself from it. So you're not actually responsible. But right, hiniach gachelet alibo, that's what it is. You put a gachelet on someone's heart. I think we're going to get to it in Adam Wa Adalam. I think it's in a few dapim. So we'll remember it.
Okay.
I think also the context there is in Eved, if I remember correctly. Anyway, we'll see it. Okay. If you think that's, just wait. There's lots of interesting cases coming along. Okay, if you think that's a strange one. Okay. So then they say, well, if Rish Lakish is basically saying that you lit the Eved on fire directly, right, and that's why kimle b'durabim mine, because you really chayav mavet, even though eshu mishum amono, ihachi maila meimra. If that's the case, then what? This is just coming to tell you the basic din of kimle b'durabim mine? Don't we know that from other places? So what are the answer? Lo tzricha bigdi dechad ve'eved dechad. Now they say something interesting. Kimle b'durabim mine, you might have thought that that means if you're chayav mavet to one person and you cause damage to his property, then you're not chayav to pay the damages to his property. But let's say the gedi belonged to one owner and you have to pay him damages, and the eved belonged to a... Now, here it's a little strange. The Mepharshim say, what do you mean the eved belonged to another owner? You're chayav mavet not because he belongs to someone, you're chayav mavet because he's a human being. Okay? But they're saying... Right, so you'd have to answer that up a little bit. It's a bit of a question, but they're basically saying, if these are viewed as two totally separate acts, because one is you pay money to someone, and one is you owe responsibility to somebody else, okay, whether it's the Eved or his Adon, however you view it, the point is that those are two separate things, and yet still, since it all was caused by one act, Kimle b'durabim mine works. And your putcher, the owner of the Gedi, really loses out, because he had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, your chayav damages for this eved, and yet he loses out. Okay, and then you'd have to say that the emphasis of kimle b'durabim mine is on the person getting the punishment. Punishment's always is a question, right? There's always an issue. Who do we look at? The person getting the punishment, or the person who we're trying to say, well, you know, be happy that we're punishing this person, right? It's like when your kids hit someone else, you know, it's important for the other kid to see that that kid's getting punished. You know, they want to get some sort of satisfaction out of it. So here, clearly, it's focusing on the emphasis of the person himself and not on the person who is damaged, because he really gets nothing. Tashma, next attempt. Hasholech eta bi'ira biyad chereish shotev katan. We saw this already. Okay, if you give a fire, we're going to see what kind of fire, in the hands of a chereish shotev katan, you're patur b'dinei adam, you're not chayav b'dinei adam, v'chayav b'dinei shamayim. Okay, you know, you didn't do something appropriate, but it's between you and God. So bishlam adaman damar isho mishum chitzav. Chitzav de chereishu. If you say, right, what do you say? Who in the end made the fire spread? The chereish shotev katan. So it's his extension of his hand, not yours. Ela mandamar isho mishum mamono. So let's take a comparable case. Ilu masar shoro lecheresh shotev katan. Here you took your fire. What did we say? According to Rish Lakish, your fire is like your property. So instead of taking your fire, let's substitute some other property. Let's say you gave him a shore. Hachinami de la machayev. What are you, not responsible? You gave him a shore. You're supposed to watch over your shore. Instead, what do? You give your shore to someone who's incapable of watching over your shore. So if he damages, obviously you're going to be chayav. So therefore, right, what are we going to say? How could you say that if isho mishum mamono, then also you should be chayav if you handed it to this chereish shotev katan? So then the answer, no. Ha'itmar alad, isn't it said, now here, instead of saying Rish Lakish could answer, here we have a great answer. We say, didn't Rish Lakish already tell us about this source? Ha'itmar alad, amar Rish Lakish mishmei dechizkia, if you remember this, lo shanu ela kishmashar lo gachelet viliba. It was a case where you gave him a coal that was already on its way to going out, and what did he do? He fanned it. The chereish shotev katan actually did an act of fanning it to make it spread more. And then he lit the fire. So therefore, we're going to make the chereish shotev, you know, in other words, you're not responsible because some act happened. And that's different from you giving him a shore, which you're supposed to watch a shore and, you know, you're not responsible about. Aval masar lo shalhev. That becomes your shalkish to say, if you actually gave him a shalhev, you'd be chayav, which works perfectly with his theory. Because then you give him just like a shore, you'd be chayav. If you give him a flame, you're going to be chayav. My time, bari hazek. And why is that? Because it's clear it's going to damp. He's going to use it, you know, it's going to catch flames and he doesn't know how to watch. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what did Rabbi Yochanan say about this case? Afilu shalhev patur. Even a shalhev, you're going to be patur. Kasavar savta decheresh kagarim. Okay, we're going to assume that it's the I think it's, these are like twigs or something, right? The savta, the twigs. It's the fact that his dealing with it is what caused it. Okay, we're saying it wasn't the person who passed the shalhev, he thinks that the cheresh is dealing with it is what caused it. Below mechayev ad demasrele gavza silta v'shraga. He's only responsible if he gives him, okay, and this is, these are the small twigs, that's why I got confused, that are, if he gives him things that are very, very highly flammable. In other words, a flame is not so, is necessarily going to catch, but if he gives him a lot of little twigs that are going to catch fire very quickly with a flame, okay, then the assumption is that it's going to catch unless the guy really, you know, knows what he's doing, and he obviously doesn't know what he's doing because he's a chereshot or katan. So therefore, but Rabbi Yochanan thinks that where do we draw the line? Shall heaven is still okay? It's, if we go further than that, then it's not okay. It's just a matter of where you draw the line. Okay, so again, what do we see here? We thought that you could say it's not mamon because why should he be patur if it was mamon? No. Rish Lakish says, no, it could be mamon because it's a case where he brought him a gachelet and he actually didn't act, the chereshot of a katan himself, which caused the fire. Okay, now we're going to end with this last thing, which is Rav is going to try to bring a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. Kra umatnita misayel el Rabbi Yochanan. A pasuk and a braita both support Rabbi Yochanan. Now we'll see that the braita is really saying the same thing as the pasuk. Kra dichtiv ki teitzei esh. Okay, here's the whole pasuk. Okay, ki teitzei esh umatza kutzim v'ne'echal gadish o akama, right? It finds these thorns and then the gadish or the kama, the bundles are destroyed, either the field or the bundles. O hasadeh, or the field itself. Shalem yishalem hamab'er et habeira. Okay, we're going to quote the beginning of this pasuk and the end. So when an esh goes out, teitzei me'atzma, right? It sounds like it's going on its own. Yishalem hamab'er, right? It doesn't say when you're motzi esh, it's a ki teitzei esh, right? If the flame kind of catches fire. Yishalem hamav'ir et ha-be'ira. What do you see here? On the one hand, it says it kind of went on its own. On the other hand, it calls you, who pays? The mav'ir, the one who set the fire. So what do we see here? Shmamina yishom yishum chitzav. It sounds like the one who set the fire, it's his koch that caused it to go. Matnita, so where's the braita? Titania, and here's going to be a braita that darshens these psukim exactly how we just did. Patacha katu b'nizke mamono, b'siyem b'nizke gufo. Lomar lecha isho mishum chitzav. As the pasuk started by saying, it sounds like it went on its own, like his mamon damage, but it ended with saying it's nizke gufo, it's hamavir. He's the one who set the fire, so how do we reconcile those two things? We answer it by saying we view it as if it's an extension of him himself, and it's his chitzav, okay? It's like his arrows shooting out. Okay, we'll continue more with this tomorrow.